If you would, turn your Bibles to Psalms chapter 86. I want to speak from the prophetic standpoint this morning. Many times my preaching is pastoral. Sometimes it's the teacher. Sometimes it's the evangelist. Sometimes it's the pastor. I want to speak from the prophetic standpoint of where we are and where the church is. And I did part of that last week. And I want to share what God is doing. Brother Philip Pearson shared some of it in the Sunday school. He had talked to me in these altars Friday night, and I went home and I put some stuff in here about what he had said to me, because God spoke to my heart. You know, you need a word from God. You need to hear what thus saith the Lord. Did you know that this nation needs a right now word from a prophet of God? From someone that can encourage the people in these dark hours that our nation is going through. Do you know that the church, that God put the gift of exhortation, and then he put a fivefold ministry, and God let some people flow in a lot of different ministries. And I just happen to be one of those. I don't know sometimes what's going to flow out. I just know one thing, the word of God is going to flow out of me. And I know that God is going to do what God loves to do. My subject, revival and the God factor. David was a man, he was hungry for revival. In Psalms 85 and 6, he cries out to God. Look at this. David is crying out of his spirit to God, "Will thou not revive us again?" You know, to revive something again means that something's wrong. David said, "Will thou not revive us again?" Why, David? "That thy people may rejoice in thee." Now, I want you to know from the atmosphere that's here at Westmoreland, this church is revived. But God has even more. And when you get the God factor in it, I mean, there are churches you can go there and you feel worse than you did when you leave than when you came there. But that's not true here, because he's here. His presence is here. His anointing is here. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, the entire Godhead has stamped this church with his approval. Hallelujah. So David asked the question. This was the cry of David's heart. "Will thou not revive us again?" Why, David? "That thy people may rejoice in thee." Brother Philip, if you would come, please, and I want you to pray over this message. I have great confidence in this man and his walk with God and his prayer life, because I pray with him. I pray with others, and I have great confidence. But just ask God's anointing upon the messenger, please, and the message.
Father God, we are so grateful today for your presence. Yes. We thank you for being here with us. We pray that you would smile on us this day. I pray that you would manifest your presence in our midst. Touch hearts. Open our hearts for your word. Give our brother the anointing that makes preaching easy. Pray that you would anoint him with the words that you want us to know this day. Open to us the secrets hidden in your word. Reveal to us that you would have us know this day. Be glorified in all of our lives, we pray. And help us, O God, to be prepared by this message this day to go into the world and to make disciples of all men in Jesus' name.
Amen. Hallelujah. Now, David, he knew that revival and rejoicing, that they went hand in hand. David was a man who was never content in his relationship with God. I like that. He always wanted more. And because of that, we can take some great lessons from David and the Psalms that he wrote and the heart of David, a man whose own heart was after God. He always wanted more, and I love that. You've heard me say it 100 times. The only thing I'm satisfied with in my Christian walk with the Lord Jesus Christ is the fact I have never been satisfied. There is so much more to God than we have ever experienced. Too many believers, they are content spiritually, and they don't see the need for personal revival. The truth is, I need revival. You need revival. The nation of America certainly needs revival. And there's a revival that is going on all over the world right now, and it's beginning to break out in little pockets and happen here in America. There is a great move of God going on in Bakersfield, California on the West Coast with Mario Murillo in his tent meetings. It happened in California. Think about this. Just like the Azusa Street revival happened in 1906, and just like the Jesus movement began in the late 60s out in California. Wonder why God moved in that place. He moved there because of the corruption that is there. Wherever there's darkness, God shows up and God shines his light because God is concerned about souls and God is concerned about the welfare of people. He sent his son, heaven's best, to save us, to redeem us. He carved this nation out of his own heart and his own hand, and we need to protect what God has given us. Somebody go and praise God. Hallelujah. Brother Murillo said that people fall under such heavy anointing in his tent meetings with groanings and moanings that he has to stop the service and give an altar call so they can be born again. You talking about the weight of sin. I tell you, sin will take you down, but God will lift you up. These people are under such conviction that they are crying out to God for deliverance and for salvation. God, take this weight of sin. God, take these habits. God, transform my life. God, help me. And the conviction is so strong in those meetings that he has to stop his meetings and give an altar call. How can that be? That's the God factor that I'm talking about. Hallelujah. No one can explain it. Hallelujah. Don't ever forget the God factor. Don't ever forget what God has done. They want to rewrite our history books, but we need our history books, because if you look in the Bible, it's the history of the nation of Israel, and God sets patterns and God repeats those patterns over and over again. And we need to draw strength and we need to draw courage from those Old Testament lessons. They are object lessons. They are examples of what God has done and what God will do. I tell you, God is up to something. Somebody go on, praise God. Hallelujah. Don't ever forget the God factor. So what is happening with these revivals is causing me to have an even greater passion for revival. Did you know that the former rain and the latter rain is happening right now and it's being poured out by God himself? Pastor Tony Suarez, he's experienced revival on the East Coast in Florida. Pockets of revival are occurring. And we're not facing anything in this nation that other nations have not faced at some time in their history. Revivals happen. Listen to me. Revivals happen when people are discontent with the status quo and they are hungry for more of God. Revivals happen when the church prays and fasts. And I'm encouraged because this church and many other churches, they began 2021 with 21 day season of prayer and fasting. There's a movement going on, a prayer movement and a fasting movement, and people seeking God like we have not experienced in our lifetimes. Hallelujah. I tell you, God is up to something. But the church needs to continue to pray. The church needs to continue to assemble. The evangelists, they need to continue to evangelize. And the prophets, they need to continue to prophesy. When you got a word from God, you don't keep it from the people. You share it with God's people. When you've been alone in your prayer closet and the Holy Ghost has quickened your heart and he keeps bringing things to you, that's what God wants you to deliver to his people. Hallelujah. And this church has been alone with God. We've been praying. We've been fasting. And I appreciate you as your pastor. Hallelujah. Well, you know, people, the present administration, they would try to tell you that the world hates America. That is not true. I've been all over the world in my lifetime. Been in every state in this union too. God bless America from sea to shining sea. The world loves the nation of America. They love the Christians. Christians all over the known world, they love America, and the true church is praying for the church in America. If God were going to judge America right now? How could he answer the prayers of millions of his people all over the world who are looking to the nation of America for help? Our nation came out of the heart of God. It was planted by the hand of God. People came here looking for religious freedom. They wanted to worship God. Our Constitution, it is founded upon biblical principles. We are the only nation that can say, God raised up this nation. God shed his grace on thee. God, hallelujah, is not going to forget us either. I tell you, people all over the world, they're looking to America and they are praying for us. Now, preachers have been silent, but this preacher, I've never been silent about it, and I never intend to be silent. And you'll understand at the end of this message, hallelujah. Now, evangelist Robin Darwin just returned from Afghanistan, and Afghanistan is experiencing revival. He was forbidden to preach the gospel in Afghanistan because they are a Muslim nation. But God used a little boy to spark revival. Do you know God can use anybody? I saw where God used the jackass and God used the rooster. I said, God, if you can use those objects there, you can certainly use me. Hallelujah. God used a little boy that had a broken leg to bring revival to the nation of Afghanistan. You know, it sounds like Acts chapter 3. I was working on this thing. I said, Acts chapter 3, that's where Peter and John, they heal a lame man at the gate. Beautiful. And revival, it broke out. Glory to God. Brother Darwin and his team pray for that little boy with the broken leg. If your leg is broken in one of those countries, forget it. You're going to walk like this for the rest of your life. You won't have a good leg. They don't have the medical teams that we have here. That's one reason, because we've carried the gospel and we've carried medicine and we've carried blessings to other nations. That's why they love America. They see God's blessings upon this great nation. But Brother Dawkins and his team, they prayed for the boy with a broken leg, and he was healed instantly. In the name of Jesus. And all of a sudden, a huge crowd began to gather. They used the name of Jesus, and that little boy's leg was healed instantly. Peter used the name in Acts chapter 3. He said, why do you look on me as though we've done some strange thing? He said it was his faith. Hallelujah. His faith in the name of Jesus. Peter said, I don't have silver and gold, but I got what you need. I got the Holy Ghost in the name of Jesus. Rise up and walk. And instantly that man, the power of God hit him. What did he do? He went to church. That's what everybody ought to do when you get a miracle. Come back to the church. Get more. There's more to God. He's got more, 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 more. Give us more, Lord. Go on, praise him for more. Hallelujah. When that little boy was healed, all of a sudden, the people in Afghanistan, they began to bring others that were sick, and they were healed. They realized that it was done in the name of Jesus and that Jesus is God. And revival, it broke out, and people were healed. They were saved. They were delivered, and they were filled with the Holy Ghost. That sounds like revival to me. It's just like Peter preached on the day of Pentecost. They said, what meaneth this? He said, this is that. Hallelujah. Well, that's what I'm talking about, the God factor. One of these young leaders in the team, see, a pastor, an evangelist, this man was operating in several gifting, Brother Dawkins. He was training that team because he left a church there when he came back to America. But one of the young leaders, he prayed for a man with a broken jaw. And all of a sudden, that man's jaw was instantly healed. And the people that had been saved, they began to pray for others in the name of Jesus. And they began to heal the sick just like it happened in the book of Acts. Why am I telling you this? Because God is the same. Yesterday, Jesus Christ, yesterday and today and forever. He is no respecter person. He will not pass us by. I love that old spiritual hymn, come by here, Lord, come by here. But praise God, I want to tell you, and I'm here to announce to you as your pastor, he has already come by here. And he is working in our midst. And we praise God for that. And I'm encouraged by what I see. What I'm saying is this, God is moving. People are being saved. People are being delivered. People are being healed. People are being baptized in the Holy Ghost. God is at work. And you heard some testimonies here. You've heard them all last year and even back then. But it's getting stronger and stronger and stronger. The presence of God. What is our part? To pray, to seek Him. He said, you shall seek me and find me when you shall search for me with all your heart. Don't tell me that a church where 31 people in the church read their Bible through, don't tell me God won't show up there. Don't tell me that a church that has a prayer meeting that's 25 years old and the people gather here when they can to pray and at other times that God won't show up there. Don't tell me that signs and wonders won't occur. Don't tell me Pentecostal fire won't fall. They come too late to tell me all about church growth. I'm looking for Him to show up. And when He shows up, revival fires will fall. When it shows up in great, great, great power, people will be delivered, shouting and singing. Go on and praise the Lord. Glory to God. You know, for people, for years they've cried, Lord, we want to see revival like they experienced in the book of Acts. Well, really? Well, America is just like that nation was back there. So America is positioned for revival right now. In the book of Acts, they had leadership problems. The people mocked them, yet miracles were happening. They put Peter and John in prison for preaching in the name of Jesus. They said, don't you preach in that name anymore. In the fifth chapter of Acts, there is lying and deceit in the church. Ananias and Sapphira, they gave an offering to the church. And Peter said, is that all? Is that all of it? Both of them lied. Peter said, you've not lied to man. You have lied to the Holy Ghost. And that couple dropped dead right there. Do we really want revival? Do we really want to take our mask off? Do we really want God to show up? Then we better clean up and get our heart flushed free of all sin. Get your soul ready to meet the King. He's coming for a glorious, triumphant, victorious church. But before He does, He's going to pour out His Spirit upon all flesh. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now, in the book of Acts, that was legalism. Sounds like what we're going through. Racism. It was. That was persecution. Yet in that atmosphere, God moved with signs and wonders, miracles and salvation. And these persecuted people, they said, don't you preach in that name. We don't want to hear anything about that name. We don't want to hear anything about your God. These persecuted people, they went out with boldness and preached the word of God. And signs and wonders happen, and they turn their world upside down. I believe we can turn our world upside down. Hallelujah. I believe we can do it in the name of Jesus, because God has already stamped this church with a seal of approval. He's here, and He's here right now. Hallelujah. If you just look at the present conditions of our nation in the light of God's word, it's easy to recognize that America is ripe for revival. Even though it's dark in America, I'm encouraged. Why are you so encouraged, Pastor? Well, I'm encouraged because Jesus is the head of the church. And He said, I will always cause you to triumph. He said, no weapon formed against you shall ever prosper. He said, when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord, woo, shall lift up a standard against him. Thanks be unto God, which giveth us the victory through Jesus Christ our Lord. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world and the world system. Hallelujah. Whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. How are we going to overcome it? With our faith. With our faith in who? In Jesus Christ. Go on and praise Him. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Look at Matthew 16, verse 18, part B of that. This is Jesus, the head of the church. He said, I will build my church and the gates of hell. I'm not talking about a nation and people coming against us. I'm talking about the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. Look at verse 19. Jesus said, I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. We've got the keys of the kingdom, church. We have the power to change things. But you got to speak up. You can't just let people railroad themselves over you. You got to get a warfare spirit. You got to have a warrior anointing. The church needs some people with some spine that will stand up in these perilous times and say, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. We're not backing down because God is backing us up. Woo! Hallelujah. You don't have to back down when God is backing you up. Surely goodness and mercy, they shall follow me all the... Oh, hello goodness. Hello mercy. They're everywhere I go. They're on my trail. They're on your trail. The church is the triumphant, victorious church of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, I'll build it. Glory to God. Hallelujah. 85%, I preached it last week, of missionary dollars and missionaries to the world, they have come out of the nation of America. And God has not forgotten America. Aren't you glad to be here? I am. I think of the bloodshed. And way back before that, the sacrifices made by people. I think about my people that died in wars. I think about my buddies, 58,000 plus, that perished in the jungles of Vietnam. You think I'm going to sit back and do nothing and be a do little, do nothing? Hallelujah. You can make a difference. I can make a difference. And if preachers would stand up and give the clarion call in our pulpits in America, get rid of that religious spirit that you're not supposed to bring politics and the culture into the church. I'm going to take it in the church and I'm going to take it out of the church and I'm going to empower some people to talk to people and tell them you need to change, rebuke, correct, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. Hallelujah. My Lord. Many people think that it's real bright for the world of darkness around us. This country is coming down. It looks like they're succeeding. But I got news for you. I read the book. The all-seeing eye, it is running to and fro throughout the whole earth. And his ear, the all-hearing ear, it is open to the prayers of his people. Hallelujah. God's people have fasted. God's people have prayed for this nation, and our Father, which art in heaven, has promised us that he will turn things around. Things may look dark, but when God shows up and performs miracles, the church and the world will be aware of it. That's his nature. Did you know that? Because he shows up in darkness, and then he changes things. That's what he did for you and me. Hallelujah. See, many in our nation, they have forgotten God. But God has not forgotten them simply because God has not forgotten America. God is a God of revival, and it's his nature to change and revive things. I remember this song. It came floating up yesterday out of me. It says, born again, free from sin, I'm happy night and day. It makes me shout, there's no doubt, I know I'm born again. I don't like the lyrics of the first because the devil has never been able to tell me this, because I had such an encounter with the Master that it changed me forever. It says, he starts that, Satan tried to tell me, I thought I got saved. He tells me what a fool I have been. But when my mind goes back to that old place where I prayed, I know I've been born again. Born again, sing it. Free from sin, I'm happy night and day. It makes me shout, woo, there's no doubt. Glory to God. Woo! Are you crazy? Yes! Hallelujah! I lost my mind and got the Spirit of God in the place of it. Hallelujah! Walk in the Spirit, you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Yes, we got to get spirit-minded. Hallelujah! Glory to God. Says, many times along the way, my faith has grown weak. when burdens seem to rise on every hand. But when I steal away in prayer, He answers my plea, my every need He understands. Sing it. I'm born again, free from sin. I'm happy night and day. Well, it makes me shout, there's no doubt, I know I'm born again. Well, it makes me shout, well, there's no doubt, I know I'm born again. Hallelujah. Glory.
Woo!
Glory. You can get up and shout. You can get up and dance. It won't bother my preaching not one bit, praise God. I always stop preaching for God's people to praise Him. Hallelujah. God is raising up churches. Listen to me. And people that will deal with the ruling spirits, the spirits of darkness that are over cities and states and nations. God is raising up a people that got on the whole armor of God. They're not afraid of the devil. They know who they are in Christ. And they know they can do exploits because they have knowledge of God. Go on, praise God. Hallelujah. I'm talking to that church. And let me tell you this. If you want to be a part of this end-time church that God is raising up, you're going to have to grow up. Grow up and get suited up. Hallelujah. You'll have to have a prayer life. You'll have to have a praise life. You'll have to honor and reverence God and His holy word. The end time church will be a people who will seek God. They will be into prayer and fasting like never before. The end time church will be a church of warfare. We're not backing down. We know our God, and we've got the whole armor on, and we know that Jesus Christ is Lord, and that no weapon formed against us can ever prosper. Am I saying there won't be dark days? No. There are dark days. They're around us now. But I've got light. Hallelujah. We've got the light. We've got the word. We are the preservative that's to take care of things in Jesus' name. This is a spiritual battle, church. And a true church recognizes that God will have to fight their battles. It will be a church that breaks down the walls of tradition, racism, and denominationalism. I'm thankful for my denomination, but I want to tell you something. My denomination did not save me. And I can see something much, much bigger and much larger than my denomination. It's called the body of Christ. It is called the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And God has people all over the world in many denominations. The true church, God is raising that church up, a church that will serve only Him. Those who treat the things of God lightly, they will not be a part of this move of God. So I'm encouraging you as your pastor, get involved. Come, hallelujah. Now's the time to worship. God is looking for people who will respond to the Holy Ghost and who will walk in holiness. They'll seek God for freedom in their lives. The saints will get in the altars. We'll take off our mask and say, I got this problem, I got that problem, and I need help. And the church will get around them like they did when I was a little boy. Say, are you sanctified yet? No, I still got this problem. Let us pray for you. And they call it praying through. Hallelujah. They prayed them through to sanctification. I saw grown men that were drunks in the community when I was growing up. They'd come to church with tears flowing down their face. Say, I need deliverance. I need help from God. I'm talking about the God factor. And I saw those men's lives transformed by the glory of God. I saw them weep tears of repentance as a little boy. I said, that thing is real. Woo! I know it's real. I said, I know it's real. Glory, glory, glory. Hallelujah. My Lord. Hallelujah. I'm thankful for my denomination. I'm going to tell you, they didn't save me. God is looking for people who respond to the Holy Ghost, who will walk in holiness, and who will love Him supremely. Hallelujah. Look at this. Now, I want you to look it with me. I'm going to change gears right here. Proverbs 14:14. The backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways, and a good man shall be satisfied from himself. Do you know what it is to be satisfied from yourself? That literally means that you will be satisfied by the hand of God. You'll be satisfied from above. So I ask you this morning, search it out. Pray about it. Where are the prophets and the leadership that will address the issue of sin that is in the church and in this nation today? Where are the prophets and the apostles who will rebuke sin and exhort God's people to holiness? I'm always amazed, you know, at the parallels that exist between the nation of Israel and the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. In the Old Testament, you know, the prophets, they were sent by God to address a nation. It was backslidden, and they were sent to reprove God's people. They had strayed from God. God hadn't changed. God's people had changed. They had forgotten God's deliverances, God's requirements, God's laws, God's word. They were backslidden in heart. That's the worst part of it. They were backslidden in heart. They did not want to hear the voice of God. Go back and read it. We're reading our Bibles through right now. They wanted a soft word. Amen. Much like the church today. You know, we say we're pro-life. We're for traditional marriage. We want religious freedom. And then the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, they go out and vote for a political party that wants to close down the church, that wants to rewrite our history, and that wants to redefine our values. Preachers are afraid to address that sin in their church, just like they're afraid to address it in our nation. We are being destroyed from within. God said, my people are destroyed with what? For lack of knowledge. Israel was backslidden in their heart, and they did not want to hear God. I tell you something, it seemed like the more that God warned them of their judgment, the deeper they went into sin and rebellion. They wanted soft preaching. Just give me a soft word. God sent prophet after prophet to offer them grace. God knew that what they really needed was a heart that had been revived. Hallelujah. God called to them again and again to repent, to return to them with all their heart. God just wanted to bless them. Do you know that's what God wants to do in this nation, to bless this nation? He said, the blessings of the Lord, it maketh rich. And he added, no sorrow with it. Woo! Hallelujah. Free from sin, that's rich. Hallelujah. I'm happy night and day. It makes me shout, woo, there's no doubt. I know I'm born again. Hallelujah. I tell you what, God is a good God. You know, the backslidden in heart, they have left their first love. And sin always goes from bad to worse. The backslidden in heart, they feel condemned because their own hearts condemn them. Their conscience is up in arms against them. They have no peace. They have no rest. They have no fulfillment. And so they just feel condemned. What an awful state to be backslidden in heart. You know, Jesus, he warns us in the Bible about this sin of being backslidden in heart. Somebody tell me what time it is. 11:46, that sound about right? Hallelujah. See, look at Luke 17:32. Now, Jesus is preaching. Jesus is a good preacher. Jesus said, remember Lot's wife. She looked back and she was lost simply because she was backslidden in heart. She wanted to go back to that cesspool of sin and iniquity that existed there in Sodom. I tell you something, when he touches you with that nail-scarred hand and you come out of darkness, you'll have no desire to go back. When you get the real deal, praise God, you'll get in the press. You say, I want more of him, more of Jesus, more of Jesus. Just give me more of Jesus. God, send revival. I want the whole world to know what you did for me. Woo! Glory to God. She looked back. She was lost. Jesus loves his church. He spoke to all seven churches in Asia, and he warned them to repent. The church at Ephesus, think about that one. He was born in the fire of Pentecost. But something happened, and they lost their passion, and they lost their love for God. They were backslidden in heart. Look at Revelation 2 and 4. Jesus said, "Nevertheless, I have somewhat against you, because you have left." I've said lost. They left their first love. They lost their passion. Excuse me. Now look at what he says to this church, this Pentecostal church that has seen the miracle working power of God, born in the fire. Now they're backslidden. John writes to them. Jesus said, "Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen and repent. Repent and do thy first works over, else I will come unto thee quickly and remove thy candlestick out of its place, except thou repent." And I'm not talking about just coming and crying a few crocodile tears and say, "God, I'm sorry," and you got it in your mind to go back and do it again. That is not repentance. Repentance is like this. It's a military term. It's an about face. You just go in one direction, all of a sudden you turn and you go in another direction. "I used to be a sinner, but I'm saved by grace. Glory to God, he took my place on the cross where he died my sins to erase. I used to be a sinner, but I'm saved. Hallelujah, I'm saved. I'm saved by grace." There are some people that tell you that you're still a sinner. "No, I've been made a partaker of God's divine nature. I've escaped the corruption that's in this world through lust. I'm a new creation in Christ." If you've ever been born again, you're a new creation in Christ. You're the righteousness of God. Go and praise him that your sins have been flushed out and purged out by the blood. Hallelujah. The church needs to return to some old paths of repentance. All through the Bible, God calls for his people to repent. Amos, Joel, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Isaiah, and many others call for that nation, the entire nation, to repent. John Baptist and Jesus, they preached repentance. Peter, Paul, the early church, they preached repentance. Repent and believe the gospel. Repent and give God free course in your life. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent, Jesus is coming, and he's coming for a glorious, triumphant, victorious church without spot, without blemish, without wrinkle, without any such thing. It's going to be pure, sanctified, and holy in Jesus' name. They will not be dabbling with the world. They have crucified themselves to the world and to the lust thereof through the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. The church in America, they seem to think that the gospel is just about God's love. But the gospel is about truth and love. And I have to preach along these lines because the pulpits of America, they have taught about the love of God only. They don't want to address the sin issue. Is it a profession with them, or is it a calling from God? If it's a calling from God, they had rather please God than please man. If it's a paycheck, they'll back up and back down. But if they're called by God, they'll stand and give a clarion call. Wake up! The King is coming! Get your heart right with Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. See, Jesus didn't die on the cross just because God loves us. No. He died on the cross to liberate us from sin. The fact that God loves you, that cannot liberate you from sin. The fact that God loves you, that alone, it cannot change you. It takes the truth of God's word. It takes true repentance. And it takes the power of the blood of Jesus Christ to set you free. Hallelujah. He took our sins on the cross. And when we accept him as our Savior, then we are saved. And then we are changed. We have to want not only a Savior, but the Lordship of Jesus Christ. You cannot con God. I remember all the problems that I had when I got saved. You talking about somebody that was messed up. I was. But I wasn't going to play church, and I wasn't going to play with God. How can I talk to a God and tell him something that knows the thought and intent of my heart? How can I tell him? How can I con God? a God that knows my lying down and my rising up. You got to get the sin out, and I promise you, woo, the power of the blood, it will wash it all out if you'll just come to God. Hallelujah. It took the blood to free me. I told God, I said, God, I got this problem, I got this problem, I got this problem, I got this problem. I said, there's no need for me to try to con you. But God, I want to serve you, and I need deliverance. And I fought those devils, and I fought those devils. You want to know where I learned to do prayer warfare? I learned it on my knees. I learned it fighting against principalities and powers and rulers of darkness. And God freed me, hallelujah. And when he freed me, he spoke to me and said, son, freely you have received, freely give. Do you know God will talk to you right out of this book right here? Freely you have received, freely give. And I'll tell you something. I wrestle with those demon spirits. But you know what? God told me, he said, I give you power over those. And those things you used to wrestle with, I will use you as an instrument in my hand to set the captive free. That's the power of the gospel and the God factor. It takes truth and love and true repentance and the power of the blood to free you. The same is true with revival. Every true revival begins with repentance. Now, we serve a God of miracles. And when we face the darkness, instead of doubting God, we need to believe God for revival. We're never limited, church, to the natural things. Because as a child of God, we can climb any mountain. We can forge any stream. We can do all things through Christ. So stop telling people how bad things are and start telling your mountain how big your God is. Hallelujah. I tell you, God will show up wherever God chooses. Throughout the Bible, God showed up where he wanted to and when he wanted to. He didn't ask for permission. He didn't ask for approval. God just showed up. He showed up and stepped into the fiery furnace of the three Hebrew children. He showed up and stepped into the lion's den with Daniel. He stepped into a jail cell with Paul and Silas at midnight. Everyone thought they were bound, thought they were messed up, and there was no hope, and they were through. But then God showed up. Why did God show up? Because Paul and Silas began to sing and to rejoice at midnight. They were shouting and praising God. And what the devil meant for harm, God worked it for good. And everybody in the jail cell got saved, and the keeper of the jail and his household. I'm talking about the God factor. I'm talking about revival. Hallelujah. You see, God defies the natural. God defies the plans of men. God is a supernatural, miracle-working God. And he has not forgotten America, and neither has God forgotten the true church. I ponder this over and over again. I ask myself over and over, how can preachers in America be silent? And God sent me the answer last night through someone, one of my preacher friends, that posted this right here, and I'm going to share it with you. The great German theologian, he was a preacher in Nazi Germany. I studied about him in college. His name was called Dietrich Bonhoeffer. He was martyred and put to death in Nazi Germany because he took a stand against what was going on in his nation. Listen to the words of this man of God, Dietrich Bonhoeffer, stated, and I quote, silence in the face of evil is evil itself. God will not hold us guiltless. Not to speak is to speak. Not to act is to act. I ask God, God, why do I have to address this? When there's so many silent voices, God, Why? I get alone in my prayer closet, and when others ridicule me, speak out against me. It matters not to me. I said, God, why? And God sent me my answer. I'll read it to you again. The great theologian, German theologian, Dietrich Bonhoeffer stated, and I quote, silence in the face of evil is evil itself. God will not hold us guiltless. Not to speak is to speak. Not to act is to act, end of quote. But I'm encouraged. Hallelujah. I'm not standing alone. God has a church. God has a true people. God has prophets. God has evangelists. God has pastors. God has preachers. God has teachers. God has a church that loves Him supremely. I am not discouraged. Hallelujah. I just know that I've got to stand against the tide. Hallelujah. And I'm not afraid to stand. Having done all to stand, God said, stand and you shall see the salvation of the Lord, Pastor Ricky. And when revival fires fall, let me tell you something, church. God changes things. People are saved and people are delivered. People are blessed. Families are happy. The whole world is changed around us. Revival and the God factor. Yes, there is a hope for America. Let us stand. Hallelujah. Woo! Glory.
Name above all names. Worthy,
you got plenty of time, don't leave. Not even 12 o'clock yet. I landed early.
My heart will sing. How great is our God.
If you're lost, if you're watching by live stream or Willie Radio, say, Lord, you've spoken to me today. I need a Savior. Today is the day of salvation. Jesus, I believe you're the Son of the living God. I believe you died on that cross, and I need to have the sin flushed out of my life. Come into my heart, Lord. Wash me, cleanse me, save me. I thank you, Lord. I'm saved. If you prayed that and you meant it, then praise God. God has saved you.
It's our God.
You're in this church today.
Sing
and you need to come back to the Lord. Anybody. If you want to talk to God, you don't have to be backslidden. You just need to say, God, I want to come and talk to you. You've spoken to me. I know I need to fix some things. I need to draw close to you so you can fix it all in my life. Hallelujah. You're a great God. You're a good God. And I love you. Hallelujah.
Our God. Oh, sing with me.
Hallelujah.
Great is our God. And all will see how great. Oh, how great. It's our God. Name above all
names. There's a name above all names. Above that problem you got.
Worthy of all praise.
Above that need you have.
My heart.
Above that sickness. Above everything. Said every knee shall bow. Every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord.